Your year-end gift to WBEZ can power the news you rely on all year long. And when you give today, you can pick up our 2026 Mural and Mosaics calendar as our thank you gift. It features stunning photos by Chicago public media photojournalists and puts the artistry of Chicago on display in your home. Give before December 17th to get it before the new year. Take a look at wbez.org/calendar.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Hey Chicago, I'm Michael Puente, in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is In the Loop. Coming up on today's show, we'll round up the major Chicago news of the day. But first, who should bear the cost of closing the budget gap? Everyday Chicagoans or corporations? Or maybe a mixture of both? This point has been quite contentious.
Chicago's trying to resurrect the head tax, aka the job killer.
We can either balance this budget off the backs of working people or challenge 3% of the largest corporations in the city of Chicago to put more skin in the game.
Alders have introduced a plan that cuts more, doubles the garbage collection fee, and hikes liquor and rideshare taxes.
Alders rejected the mayor's budget largely due to the corporate head tax that would charge companies with more than 100 employees $21 per employee per month. But when they introduced their own plan without a head tax, the mayor rejected it. Yesterday on In the Loop, two aldermen made their case. Today, a critique of their plan. At the table, Julie Dworkin, co-executive director of the Institute for the Public Good, and Asha Ransby Sporn, organizer with the Black Voter Project. Asha started off explaining why the Black Voter Project is going door to door and calling voters to talk about the mayor's proposed budget.
I think that people are really feeling the impact of, number one, some of the budget cuts that are coming down from the federal government, from the Trump administration. You know, we talked to families who are struggling to put food on the table because their SNAP was cut in half last month and are worried about it getting cut even further, healthcare costs. And so, you know, what we're really hearing is people can't afford any more cuts at the city or state level and want to see our local leaders step up and find ways to, you know, make sure that we are providing services. And then public safety and investing in really root cause solutions to public safety that is going to be felt in communities is another thing that's really important to folks. You know, we've been knocking on doors, talking to folks all across the South and West Sides, hosting community events, doing education around some of the impact of the federal policies on Chicago all year. And many of us have been involved in organizing over the years around a wide variety of issues. Treatment, not trauma, is one of them, right? There was overwhelming support for investment in an alternative mental health crisis response and reopening clinics. And so when we saw the budget proposal that came out that said, hey, we're actually going to make big corporations that in the first Trump administration got a massive tax cut, pay a little bit of their fair share, the cost of, you know, providing lunch for their employees. They can afford it. We can't. And we're going to use those funds to invest in youth jobs, mental health, public safety. You know, we were excited and have been working to mobilize folks to make their voices heard to their aldermen since.
You know, Julie, yesterday we spoke with Alderman Gil Villegas of the 36th Ward, which includes Belmont Cragen, Hermosa, and Portage Park, and Alderman Timothy Knutson of the 43rd Ward, which includes Lincoln Park, Old Town, and the Gold Coast. Here's what the Alderman Knutson had to say about why they pursued these alternative ideas.
when we introduced this, it was more of introducing a pathway. We weren't necessarily looking for a yes or no. I don't think we dreamed of getting a yes. We're all done. But it was a pathway to have, you know, constructive, collaborative conversations towards passing a budget, which we should all want to do. And it's frustrating then when the CEO of the city, per se, is saying, nope, we're not going to talk much about this. I'm doubling down on my first proposal.
So, Julie's, in the spirit of collaboration, you know, what are some of the elements in these proposals that you think are worth engaging in?
So there are some ideas in there that I think could be adopted. They want to bring back a proposal that was in the original budget around a congestion fee. They want to put some money back into the mayor's office. They want to put some money back into the budget that was paying for a vice mayor's office. They want to enforce an environmental ordinance. They want to hire new attorneys so that they don't have to use as much outside legal counsel. All of those things are good ideas, but they don't get us to a place where we can eliminate the head tax or pay advance pension payments. So they're really just tinkering around the edges.
So, Julie, you are concerned that these measures put forth by the aldermen, that if they're not paired with the revenue stream of the corporate head tax, that could harm the city's financial outlook, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the concern about the proposal that's on the table. First of all, it harms Chicagoans. It would cut 5,000 youth jobs that have been proven to reduce crime. It would increase people's health care costs as much as $1,000 a year that people would pay more in premiums. And it would add $85 million in new taxes through a garbage tax and a liquor tax that's going to hit families that just had a huge property tax increase. And the budget is not based on sound fiscal analysis. So that's really the concern about the long-term impact. It's not based on real numbers. It doesn't meet the minimum requirements of what a balanced budget is. They've cobbled together a bunch of things that were brainstormed or mentioned in the newspaper but haven't been properly vetted or looked at efficiencies that are not based on real data projections and real numbers about what they can realistically bring in. So the budget math does not add up. And if you put something forward without real numbers, you could end up with a mid-year budget crisis. And I just want to underscore what Asha said about what's so good about what's already on the table. What's been on the table since October protects youth jobs. It protects mental health funding, homelessness and housing. It keeps all our vital city services while asking corporations to pay their fair share and doesn't raise taxes and fees on everyday Chicagoans who can't afford it.
Asha, why do you support the corporate head tax?
Yeah, I you know, agree with the last point that Julie mentioned, right? I think that inequity is a big problem, you know. Billionaires are getting richer in this country. Corporations are, you know, facing increasingly less regulation and taxes and seeing, you know, enormous profits. And people, the cost of living is going up. And people are struggling. And so I think that is at the heart of the problem we have to address as a society in this country. And I think that we should be, you know, doing what we can to address it here in Chicago. So, you know, when we talk to people who whose property tax bills already went up by, you know, was just talking to a leader yesterday by like 250%, for example. And you have some of the companies we're talking about, they're big financial institutions. We're talking about Google, corporate McDonald's. You know, these are really big companies that make a lot of money and make the people at the top of them very rich. And so I think that's where we should be looking to say we're not talking about, you know, a tax that's going to sink these businesses. We're talking about paying to fund the city that you operate in. And I think that's where we should be looking to fund services that make our community safer, that benefits all of us, that do provide jobs, doing things that are good for our communities, paying young people to have a positive impact in their community that's economically smart and it's smart in terms of public safety. And it just says we care about young people.
Sure.
So I think that's where we should be looking instead of, you know, making the garbage fee a little more, like things that really do actually have an impact on people's pockets who are already struggling to keep up with the cost of living.
This is what Alderman Knutson had to say on why he's worried the head tax could stunt job growth.
Chicago is really strategically placed to be a hub in the country for startups and founders, better cost of living than the coast, a lot of Big Ten talent. So specifically for that, any tax that we put on jobs, it argues against more jobs. When you tax something, it limits the result.
So, Julie, what do you make of the argument that Chicago is poised to be a big player in the tech industry and that a tax on companies with more than 100 employees could get in the way?
So first of all, there's no data to support the idea that taxation is related to job growth or job loss. Studies that have looked over decades have not found a correlation there. Second of all, if I'm a business and I'm looking to locate in Chicago, or if I'm looking to grow my business from 50 people to 150 people, that would put me over the threshold for this tax, I have the potential to make millions of more dollars. I'm going to make my business decision based on what's best for my company, not because I'm going to have to pay a few thousand dollars more in taxes. That's what's real. And what is going to hurt businesses is if we have to enact real cuts to vital city services and we see garbage pickup delayed and we have overflowing trash cans, we have rats in the alleys, we cut youth jobs, which leads to more crime in the city, we have slower response to emergency services. Those are the things that are going to hurt business.
We also heard yesterday from Alderman Gilbert Villegas. He argues that the corporate head tax would hurt small businesses. So this is what he had to say on yesterday's show.
So the SBA, Small Business Administration, identifies small businesses at 500. And so by identifying firms at 100 or more employees, you're really taxing the smallest of the smallest small businesses. So if you want to talk about taxing corporations, let's talk about that at the state level. So that way all corporations across the state are paying more versus just targeting out Chicago to pay more.
Now, we should point out that according to the census data, more than 90% of small businesses in Cook County have fewer than 20 employees. So it's not really accurate to say the corporate head tax would affect the, quote, smallest of the small. So, but does he have a point that we need to worry about how a head tax would affect those small businesses between 100 and 500 employees, Julie?
So the head tax would not affect businesses between 100 and 500 employees. It impacts businesses over 100 employees. Yeah. And so the definition of a small business under the Small Business Administration is not actually 500 employees. Mm-hmm. I fact-checked that, actually, and that is actually an AI summary. It's a complex definition that looks at different industries and different numbers of employees, and some of it's based on revenue. So that's not actually a real thing. It also defies common sense to talk about a small business as being 500 people. And like you said, the vast majority of small businesses have fewer than 20 employees. And businesses of that size make up 98% of the businesses in the U.S. Those businesses are going to be exempt. Businesses up to 100 employees are going to be exempt. Once you get larger than that, you're not really talking about a small mom-and-pop business anymore.
Actually, it seems like you wanted to chime in on that question as well.
Yeah, totally. Just in response to, you know, both of the aldermen who we heard clips of, just to level set, a $21 per employee cost, that's the cost of buying your employees lunch. Like that, and if we're talking about tech startups, I don't know about you, but I feel like a part of the culture is providing a good culture for your employees. That is a type of cost that like should be built into any business. $21 so your employees can live in a safer, better, well-funded, well-functioning city, and that will generate, you know, millions of dollars for really, really important programs in our city. And you know, I think that what we've seen a lot of political money being spent in this budget season. It's almost like it's an election season.
Right.
It's some of the same political operatives that worked for and advised and funded, you know, Rahm Emanuel's political career when he repealed that head tax. What did we see? We did not see corporations leaving Chicago because of that head tax. There's tons of data saying that it is not a reason why companies leave a place. There are international examples that show that to be true. But what we have seen is, you know, the city, when it's ruled by or following the interests of corporate political insider lobbyists who are spending lots of money in politics, make political decisions. Like, you know, the same year Rahm Emanuel closed mental health centers, he gave a multi-million-dollar tax break to Boeing on the promise that they would bring jobs to Chicago, which they never did. They got that tax break, $2 million a year for 20 years, and never brought the 500 jobs they promised to stimulate the economy here. So really what we're talking about are decisions that benefit the, you know, corporate class because of however the money of corporations and politics flows, or decisions that benefit the everyday people of Chicago. And I think we've got to really like peel back the curtain and be honest about, you know, what is at play.
Well, we got a little bit more than a minute. Julie, I'll ask the last question to you. How does the mayor get this over the finish line? We got less than a month left. How does he get his message across?
I think that if this document is an example of the best possible alternative, then we have put to rest the idea that we can cut our way out of this budget, and it removes all doubt about what the real choices are. So people need to decide whether to tax corporations and pay for youth jobs, mental health centers, violence prevention, all the services that people need, or to tax Chicago residents and cut vital services. I think we're at a road right now where those are the options on the table. That's what compromise looks like, is making a decision about which of those paths you're willing to follow. And I think the majority of Chicagoans are going to want to take the path one, and that is the path forward here.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Okay, now a breakdown of today's big headlines. At the table, Claire Lane, WBEZ anchor, and Tina Svondelis, national politics reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. Tina began with her story that Raja Krishnamoorthy, who is running to fill Dick Durbin's Senate seat, had some surprising donors to his campaign, despite positioning himself as the most anti-MAGA guy out there.
So Senate candidate Raja Krishnamoorthy, I reported that he took in more than $90,000 in contributions from Trump-friendly MAGA allies. That includes Mark Andreessen. He's a Trump advisor and venture capitalist. There's Michael Pillsbury. He's a Heritage Foundation advisor. And Shyam Sankar. He's a Trump advisor. And he's the Palantir chief technology officer. That's a company that is helping to identify people who lack legal status to try to get them to be deported. So they have a lot of contracts with the government. That's the one that's gotten a lot of attention. Some people are upset. He was on CNN yesterday, and he was asked whether those contributions from Sankar gave him pause or if he would choose to revisit them, and he just said yes. So that's where we're at. He's revisiting, potentially, Sankar's contributions, and he has given him about $29,000 over many years, but the latest one was about $3,500 this year for his Senate campaign.
Well, at first, though, he defended accepting these campaign donations, didn't he?
He did. His campaign said this is only 0.2% of the money he's raised because he's raised so much money. But I would say it's more about what these people have done, how influential they've been in the Republican world and in the Trump world than how much they've given to Krishnamurti.
Do we know why the donors who are, you know, give to, considered MAGA, would give to somebody like Krishnamurti?
There's a lot of reasons, and I unpacked it in my story. There are people who are tech people. He's a tech guy. So they're, you know, they're giving money to many members of Congress who are interested in tech. He's an Indian American. There's a lot of Indian American donors who are Republicans. I talk about this Republican Hindu coalition that's based in the northern suburbs. That person has also given him money. So there's cultural things, there's tech things, he's a China expert. So you saw kind of a cross coalition, but the Sankar contribution is the one that's kind of raising eyebrows right now.
Can you give us a quick update on the race to replace Durbin so far with polling and fundraising and stuff like
well,
that?
Well, I take polling with a super grain of salt because most is coming from the campaigns.
Okay.
But we have seen Raja in the lead. You have seen Robin in second, and you have seen Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton in various polls. It fluctuates. I think it's too early. The primary is March 17th, but you do see the effect of Krishnamurti being on TV since July. That makes a huge difference.
Well, Claire, Chicago City Council is currently in a budget battle. The council has to legally pass this budget by December 31st after another week of failed budget negotiations. The phrase government shutdown is now in the air. You know, we just went through the longest federal government shutdown in history. Could we be headed for a shutdown in the city?
It's possible. The stalemate, as you mentioned, between conservative and moderate city council members and Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, very progressive mayor, over the budget intensified over the weekend and continues to make headlines. Both sides have, you know, met. They continue to meet, but they have not reached a compromise, at least that we know of. Main sticking point is this proposed corporate head tax that mayoral opponents say would kill jobs. As you mentioned, my deadline is the 31st of this month. So if Chicago fails to pass a budget, you know, we're risking an inability to pay workers, disruptions to services, damaging our credit rating, which, you know, would mean we would have to increase some borrowing costs, a loss of public trust, right? Among many things, forcing leaders to find emergency funding, continuing to make deep cuts. There's just a lot of things that could really go wrong if we don't pass this budget. So we'll see what happens.
I'm a little worried as a motorist out there who's been driving through these slick roads and icy conditions. Would that mean these ice trucks wouldn't be around, you know, salting the streets?
Yeah, and potentially, you know, delays for CTA and commuters, you know, lacking the same thing we saw with TSA, right? If you're not paying people, are people really going to show up for work?
I think Michael Belandic got a taste of what it means not to, you know, service Chicago during a snowstorm, you know, so, oh, well. So let's get an update on redistricting efforts in my state of Indiana. It looks like it's going to go to the full Senate. Tina, what do you know about this vote coming up on Thursday?
Mike, I know you're watching this closely, so thank you on behalf of our entire company. But what we're seeing is that some Republicans voted for it to pass it out of a hearing, but have said that doesn't mean we're going to support it. They want this vote out in the open. So I guess there's a potential that it might not pass. But a lot of MAGA Republicans there want to see it passed. And in Illinois, if it does pass in Indiana, we might be seeing Illinois redistricting. That's what Governor J.B. Pritzker has said. He has said that is the state that will trigger us to do the same. So we're watching to see what will happen there.
So, you know, that is the number one thing. Like, what happens in Indiana? How does it impact Illinois? So
right. That
would definitely be the trigger. And we were talking a little bit earlier that that Illinois still has time to do this?
They would find the time. It's Leader Hakeem Jeffries has told these Democrats, like, these are the states that we want to pair. We need to compete with them. And so I think that they would find a way.
You know, I think one of the telling things that I've seen in some of the coverage on this is that some of the Republicans who are against this, like the Republican Greg Walker from Columbus, Indiana, he voted against it. And he just says, you know, he's not sure this is the way the state should be operated, by threats and intimidation. And it's just surprising that the Senate was totally against it, and now they're meeting. I think they just want to get on the record who's against it
right,
to primary them. I think the president and some MAGA supporters say, we will priming this.
And then you might see resignations, just like you're seeing in Congress, of anyone that goes up against Trump.
That's pretty interesting. What do you think might happen, Tina? I mean, do you think they might actually do this?
I think they might actually do this.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go on a little bit. Golden Globe nominations are out. Any surprises?
I was excited about the podcast category because I listened to the Amy Poehler one, The Good Hang with Amy Poehler. I just like walk across my neighborhood and smile because it's just like a happy show that we all need right now. And I also liked, there's an Apple TV show called Pluribus, and I'm an X-Files nerd from the 90s, and it's a writer from who created that, Vince Gilligan. He's also the Breaking Bad guy, so I'm a huge fan. I was excited to see like new shows getting a chance.
Yeah. Any shows you looking for, Claire, or not necessarily?
Well, I was on an airplane this weekend, and I watched The Smashing Machine with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and he was incredible. And he got a nod for Best Actor in a Drama, which people mostly think of him as an action star, right, comedy star. So branching out of his persona as The Rock, nice. and he was truly excellent.
That's nice. That's nice. Okay, Claire, so I hate to ask you this, but we're supposed to get more snow, is that right?
It's a winter mix, Mike, yeah, which is my favorite Chicago thing, where the temperature is not quite freezing, right? But there's snow on the ground, there's chill in the air, so precipitation is sort of sleety, and that's likely what we're going to see tonight during the evening commute. Rain is possible, but that temperature is going to be right around 33, so it could be slick conditions for this evening. A National Weather Service is also warning that this freezing rain could continue into tomorrow and actually cause a slick commute for morning commuters. So there's no way to avoid this.
That,
whether you
right?
work a first shift or a third shift, you're going to be slickly commuting to and from wherever you need to go.
Why can't we be talking about Garrett's popcorn mix instead of this sleet slow?
No, stuff? We're talking about ice trucks and plows.
I need snow boots. I don't have snow boots.
So one last thing. I guess the Northern Lights is also happening tonight. Are you going to be able to stay up that late to see it?
Well, the hues will be most visible in and around Chicago, you know, away from the downtown area, away from the skyline. And it's within an hour or two of right around midnight. So that is not typically when I am awake anymore, given that I'm hosting Morning Edition at the crack of dawn. What a shame.
Man, what a shame.
But people will be out there.
Sure.
I mean, there's dedicated folks. I bet Montrose Beach will be full.
Absolutely. Tina, I got to ask you about this this new poll that came out from the parent advocacy group Kids First, finds that Chicago seemed to have more trust in Governor Pritzker than their own mayor on a somewhat surprising issue.
Right, on education, right. On funding CPS. I don't find it totally surprising. I mean, I covered this governor since he first, you know, 2017, since he first ran for governor. And he has made education a huge focal point. Even those really controversial like years where the budget was a mess, he was raising money. I mean, he was increasing funding for secondary education, for early education. That's been a priority for most governors. That gets you a little popularity there, that you care about the kids, obviously. And he's in charge of the state funding for the entire state. And so I think that that gives him a little bit of leeway. And he has a track record of having accomplished things. I'm not totally surprised by this.
You know, we're talking a little bit about the Golden Globes earlier. Do want to send out a shout out to Chase Infinity. She's nominated for Best Actress in a Movie or Comedy for One Battle After Another. She's a Chicagoan and a Columbia College grad. So, you know, congratulations.
Congrats
to her. Tina, what other stories you may be watching this week?
We got some people that might be knocked off the ballot. The Illinois State Board of Elections has a meeting today. There's a Democrat who's running, the only Democrat to run against J.B. Pritzker. She has a challenge. And then we might see some people knocked off in the U.S. Senate race, the Democrats. There's like 14 people total, in addition to those three front runners. So we might see some people knocked off today.
This episode of the In the Loop podcast was produced by me, Linnea Dominic, and edited by Ethan Schwab. Sasha Ann Simons is our host. For more in-depth coverage of news and culture in Chicago, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. For a full archive of the show, head over to wbez.org/in the loop. Thanks for listening.